About anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." And then looking to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. "Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipra and the name of the other Puah. And he said, 'When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, see them on the birth stools. If it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live.' But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, 'Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?' And the midwives said to Pharaoh, 'Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them.' Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, 'Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive.'" Verses 15 to 22, Exodus chapter 1. Lord, we thank you once again for the grace found upon and within your word. Thank you for the power, the wisdom, the counsel, the strength, the encouragement that is found and that dwells in your word. Lord, thank you for the privilege we have of being able to come to you in prayer each and every day, knowing that you always have a listening ear for the prayers of your children. Thank you for us as your church and the opportunity for us to be the praying church you've called us to be. Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer, praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Empower us to be the worshiping church, the praising church, the thanking church, the praying church you would have us to be. And more, help us to live a lifestyle that does what you've called us to do, pray without ceasing. Teach us, mold us, and help us more and more to live that out every single day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Hey, Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that you'd speak, that you'd open our hearts, our minds, our ears, that we would be intentionally present with you right now. Father, thank you so much for loving us so intentionally. And thank you so much for teaching us how to love. When Jesus walked by Zacchaeus, he said, come down, let's go have dinner at your house. Jesus was so intentional. Jesus was so personal. Father, teach us how to be the same way. Thank you so much, Father, for leaving us so much truth in scriptures. Thank you so much for speaking to us directly through the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for creating a family in the church where we can walk together in your name. Father, I ask that you'd grow up more people to send out for ministry, and that we'd be more obedient, and that we'd grow more and more in being like Jesus. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Today we're looking at the topic specifically, don't sit on the sidelines, stand up for life. Again, don't sit on the sidelines, stand up for life. And as we begin our time, I want to share with you, I'm going to be sharing from a series of articles, but just to introduce what we'll be doing today is there is such a need for us in the body of Christ to recognize that, again, there's so much work in the kingdom of God to be done. One of the priorities of the church, of course, is the Great Commission. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. As believers, we're to have a lifestyle of sharing the gospel, a lifestyle of making disciples, a lifestyle of pointing people to Jesus Christ, a lifestyle of supporting missionaries and mission work and home missions and foreign missions that helps spread the gospel and help love people in the midst of the challenges and the difficulties they may be living in their unique community, wherever they might be in the world. Well, one of the critical issues in our culture today continues to be a major issue that's in the news on a daily basis as well, is the issue of life, standing for life and helping to end the tragedy of abortion. Praise God for the fact that Roe v. Wade was overturned a couple years ago, and thank God for that. That was a blessing. But as we're sharing on the broadcast, we hope that you will be challenged to recognize that there's so much yet to be done on the battlefield for life. And so as you're listening today, we hope that you will be encouraged to get more involved, and more specifically, that you'll seek God and say, Lord, show me what you want me to do in the cause of standing for life and ending abortion. Because the fact is, again, the Bible is very clear. One of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not murder. So it's important for us to understand very clearly, in spite of what our culture tries to scream at us every day, abortion is always wrong. Abortion is the first degree murder of a baby in the womb. There's never a circumstance where it's right under any, because God's word doesn't change. God doesn't change. And so he's made that clear. So it's important that we're listening to the truths of God's word and understanding what God is saying. It's now, of course, for people that have gone down that road and made the tragic mistake of going down the road of having an abortion. The Bible lets us know in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. By no means is abortion an unpardonable sin, not at all. If we confess it and repent of it, God will forgive. Now, of course, there are obvious consequences behind when we make mistakes and when we sin and do wrong. But the reality is, yes, God will forgive. If we confess it, repent of it, and ask his forgiveness, without question, God can and will forgive this and other sins as well. So as we begin, we'll be sharing articles. If you wanted to get a copy of one or more of the articles that we share, we're glad to share them with you. Once again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And this introductory article, which can be found on the AFA stand, is entitled The Bible, Life, and Abortion. What exactly does the Bible say about life, standing for life, and the abortion issue? Does it say anything about these issues, or is it silent? Does it tell us anything about God's perspective and thinking about life and the taking of innocent life and the taking of the life of innocent children? Does it say anything at all? Actually, the Word of God has a lot to say about these issues. Do you want to know God's will and his thoughts about these matters? Just look in his book. One definition of abortion is the deliberate murder of a child in the womb of its mother. Another definition is the taking of the life of an innocent baby. The following are passages from the Word of God that give us God's counsel, his thoughts, and his will concerning life, abortion, and the taking of innocent life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and the length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. Then Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. Then Proverbs 24, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Again, Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12. Then Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Again, Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abominable thing that the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. For they even burn their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31. Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 20 and 21. And you took your sons and your daughters, whom you had borne to me, and these you sacrificed to them to be devoured. Were your whoring so small a matter that you slaughtered my children and delivered them up for an offering by fire to them? Again, Ezekiel 16, 20 and 21. Then Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Again, Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38. I'm going to read that again. Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Again, Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38. Then Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 35. They built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech, though I did not command them, nor did it enter into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Reading that again, Jeremiah 32, verse 35. They built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech, though I did not command them, nor did it enter into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Again, Jeremiah 32, 35. And then 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. In Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 22, and Matthew 2, 16 through 18, God's word tells us of two governmental leaders, two kings who, for sad, cruel, and selfish reasons, gave orders to slaughter innocent little boys. By their power and authority, their orders were carried out. Tragically, we still have governmental leaders who continue to approve the killing of innocent babies in the womb. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at biblical insight about standing for life. We'll be right back.
Every day I face a million different ways I gotta trust. But there's only one decision: how to live, how to love Jesus, because you are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise. Won't you lead me in my choices, my choices? I believe that faith is nothing if it isn't everything. Every heartbeat, every moment, whatever this day brings, this song I will sing. You are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise. Won't you lead me in my choices, my choices?
Music of J.J. Weeks with Choices. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're picking up with an article that we're sharing. Once again, if you'd like to get a copy of any of the articles we share, simply email me at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get them to you. This article is entitled The Bible, Life, and Abortion. Picking up Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 and 12. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Again, Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12. Then Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute in the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. And then picking up then. In Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 22, and Matthew 2, 16 through 18, God's word tells of two governmental leaders, two kings, who for sad, cruel, and selfish reasons gave orders to slaughter innocent little boys. By their power and authority, their orders were carried out. Tragically, we still have governmental leaders who continue to approve of killing innocent babies in the womb. This was not an exhaustive listing of scriptures that speak to the issues of life, standing up for life and standing against abortion. These were just a few, but they're enough to help you see what God clearly thinks about the issues concerning life. What should be our response to the insights God's word gives us of his will, his perspective, and his thoughts on these issues? A wise and correct response on the part of believers and the church is that we should get passionately involved in aggressively standing for life. What can believers do to walk out a passion and commitment to the cause of life? Here are a few ways to get involved. Number one, find your local pregnancy center and volunteer your time to help with the ministry. Give financially to one or more local pregnancy centers. Pray for the ministry of pregnancy centers and other pro-life ministries that are out there. Inquire about the possibility of your church putting the local pregnancy center into your church budget on a monthly basis. Number two, take the time and effort to research and learn about active pro-life ministries that are doing significant work to stand for life, save babies, and or to help end legalized abortion. And then number three, educate yourself about every facet of the issue surrounding life and abortion. Sadly, there's a lot of ignorance, apathy, and misinformation about the life issue and about abortion. Great is the need for the church to become educated, spiritually and otherwise, about this issue, and great is the need for them to get involved. Your help is greatly needed in this battle, and every day counts. Can God count on you? Again, the title of that particular article, The Bible, Life, and Abortion. And if you'd like to get a copy, simply email me at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And now keep in mind, one of the reasons why we encourage you to get the articles, of course, is that you'd have that article, again, as found on the AFA stand, going to afa.net, and you can find them there by the title. But keep in mind, there is a need for us to be equipped and informed about so many issues. There's so much ignorance where people just don't understand certain issues and matters and concerns that are out there. So I'm going to share another article that also addresses some of the other critical issues that we as believers need to become further educated about. And again, our challenge to you is that every listener would decide, I'm going to read up and learn about these issues and not just stay in the dark, because there is a lot of ignorance. There is a lot of people who just don't understand certain issues that are critical issues related to the life matter. Lord, thank you again for every believer listening, and thank you for the opportunity all of us have of being able to be your hands and feet in helping to address the issue of standing for life and against abortion. Father, in view of the fact that we live in a culture where so many people are passionate about wanting the quote-unquote right to be able to abort children whenever they want to, Lord, open their eyes. Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus, we break Satan's power over those that are in darkness who think abortion is okay. Send along their path persons who will proclaim the gospel to them. Draw them to yourself, save them, and open their minds and their hearts to you and to your truth. Help them to see, Lord, that, again, doing things your way is always the right way to live life. Thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. This next article is entitled, Issues on Life and the Church. Again, Issues on Life and the Church. The Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ genuinely needs to consider some critical issues concerning the matter of life in our world today. Here's one major issue to ponder. Since the overturning of Roe v. Wade, it's been stated on more than one occasion that the number of abortions in the U.S. has not only not gone down, it has actually increased. In considering this statement, a critical question then needs to be asked. Why is this the case? Well, as a pastor who's been involved with the life issue for close to three decades, I believe that some of the following factors are reasons as to why this would be true. The preaching and teaching of truth about life, righteousness, and the value of life has not been nearly adequate in our culture. There's much discipleship that needs to happen in the lives of believers in the church, in basically every area of life as a whole. And when it specifically comes to the issue of standing for life, there's tremendous need for believers to be discipled concerning what the Bible tells us about life. We need to be taught about this issue from a biblical perspective and not from the perspective of the world. And we need to learn practically how to follow and serve Christ in light of a biblical perspective on life. Many of the pastors and other spiritual leaders are not themselves grounded in the Word of God, and thus are not committed to the truths found in the Word of God. And too many spiritual leaders are very simply not committed to truth behind the commandment, you shall not murder. So when leadership is not committed to standing on the foundation of the Word of God, can we really expect the rest of those who profess faith in Christ to be better off overall? Another related matter to that one issue is this one. We need to be so much more educated about the landscape of the battlefields we walk onto every day. There are many sides of the life issue that many believers desperately need to be educated about. Some of these matters include, number one, what can an individual Christian like you or I do to help stand for life? Number two, What is chemical abortion and why should it concern me? Number 3, what is the abortion pill and how does it work? Number 4, what is abortion pill reversal? Number 5, what exactly do pregnancy centers do to help expecting moms? Number 6, should I ask my pastor about our church getting involved with and supporting a local pregnancy center? Number 7, what is a house of refuge church and why should my church seek to become one? Number 8, what is IVF and does it honor God? And number 9, what is embryo adoption? Now, these are just a few critical life issues that face us as the church, Christ's hands and feet in the world. Why not decide that you as an individual will do at least these two things? Number 1, prayerfully educate yourself on many of these critical issues related to the life issue. And number 2, ask God the same question Paul asked the Lord immediately after he met Christ on the road to Damascus. Lord, what do you want me to do? May every one of us get involved with Standing for Life in all the ways the Lord would have each one of us to. Again, the title of this article, Issues on Life and the Church. Again, the title of the article, Issues on Life and the Church. Now, one matter that you may often hear me speak of here on the broadcast I would encourage you to pray and say, Lord, show me what you would have me to do. There's so much work out there to be done, obviously in the kingdom of God as a whole and also very clearly in the work of Standing for Life and against abortion. Now, it's not for me or any other person to tell you specifically what you're supposed to do, but you really should seek God and ask God what he wants you to do, because if you ask him sincerely, my guess is he'll give you one or more assignments in helping the cause of Standing for Life. I hope that you will take the time to do that. You may pretty often hear me to challenge you to find out where your local pregnancy clinic is. Lots of believers have no idea where a local pregnancy clinic is in their community. I would encourage you, find out where it is. Please take the time to pray for that ministry every day of your life. It doesn't take long, but there's a lot of spiritual warfare that happens in and around every pregnancy clinic. Pray much for your local pregnancy clinic. But also, I would challenge you to pray about the possibility maybe you might decide that you want to maybe support your local pregnancy clinic and maybe support more than one. And I want to say to our listeners, I want to say a big thank you to some of our listeners. We've had a number of listeners who decided that they wanted to help with the pregnancy clinic that my wife, Bertie, and I had the privilege of to found. Our clinic is named the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry. It's up and running and functioning in Greenwood, Mississippi today. Our goal is once we get fully established and fully on the ground, get our feet fully on the ground doing what we do, our goal is to serve the Mississippi Valley State community, which is a little further west of Greenwood, Mississippi, and then eventually to go ahead and serve Greenville, Mississippi as well. But what we need is we need intercessors. We need people that will seriously commit to praying for our work. The work is moving forward. Now, to be very honest with you, the spiritual warfare that we deal with is crazy sometimes. In fact, it seems to be crazy too often. But the fact is we need intercessors, people that will pray for the ministry and genuinely take it serious about praying for God to bless the ministry, to help the ministry move forward, to bless and prosper its evangelism and discipleship outreach. Its outreach of simply ministering to moms, the outreach of giving baby items to moms. We need your prayer. So please pray for the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center ministry. But also, if you as a listener, like some have done, decide that you'd like to contribute, well, again, that's very much appreciated as well. Let me share with you a couple things that we would invite you to pray about. For example, on an ongoing basis, we use what's called the Baby Bottle Boomerang Program. If you're interested in maybe getting some, they're not real baby bottles. They look like baby bottles, but they're actually little banks. If you'd like to get some to share with your church, and the way that works is you distribute them. You have each person fill out a small slip of paper that gives information about the person getting the bottle. They keep it for 2 weeks, and they bring it back. They can put coins in it, dollar bills, million-dollar checks, whatever the Lord puts on their heart to share. But each person places in the bottle whatever they want to give. And after a two-week period, they bring them back. And if you take it upon yourself to do it for your church, you'd collect it, count it, and send it in. Again, when people do things like that for us, it helps tremendously. And again, it's a person sacrificially giving of themselves. So if you're interested, email me, joseph@afr.net. We'd appreciate that. But also, the pro-life play that we recently had a chance to perform at Blue Mountain Christian University, that too is a tool we're using as a fundraising tool. If you'd like to get a copy, a DVD copy of the play, we have a suggested donation of $10. If you'd like to get that, email me. We'll be glad to get you information as far as how you can get a copy of that. That too is a way that you can help in some way to support the work of the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry. But if you'd like to get involved, simply get in touch with us. We would be honored if you'd get involved. But again, at minimal, just pray and ask God what he wants you to do, because there's so much any and all of us can do. But the goal is find out specifically what task or tasks that God would have you to do to help get involved. But keep in mind, we're encouraging you, don't sit on the sidelines. Stand up for life. Get involved wherever God leads you to get involved. But don't choose to do nothing. Lord, open our eyes and our hearts to discern clearly what you would have each one of us to do, and help us to do it with all our heart for your glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. As we're looking today at the topic, don't sit on the sidelines, stand up for life. We'll be right back. Fred Hammond with If My People. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, today we're looking at the topic, don't sit on the sidelines, stand up for life. And again, on an ongoing basis, we're encouraging you prayerfully find out where your local pregnancy clinic is. And again, pray about the possibility of volunteering to give of your time. Also, typically your average pregnancy clinic may always have a need for baby items, diapers, and other items they can give away to moms that they're ministering to. Also, obviously, giving financially on a monthly basis to your local pregnancy clinic is a huge help. Now, sometimes people may think, well, I don't really have a whole lot to give. Even a small gift on a monthly basis makes a big difference, because say you have a few dozen people that give just $10 a month. You know what? That can add up very, very quickly. And so don't ever underestimate the importance of a gift of any size to your local pregnancy clinic. Again, find out about other wonderful pro-life ministries that are out there that are doing the work of the Lord. And once again, if you want to get in touch with us, our website is deltapchc.org. Again, that's deltapchc.org. One more time. Delta, D-E-L-T-A, P-C-H-C dot org. Again, the name of the ministry, the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry. And again, if you're interested in maybe doing a baby bottle campaign for us, we would be glad to partner with you to make that happen. Simply email me again, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get you the information as to how you could do that. Or if you'd like to simply get a copy of a DVD of our pro-life play. Well, the DVD is entitled Raggedy Bibles. It's actually the movie, which includes the play as well. The play is called Rev Riding in the Hood, the play that recently was performed at Blue Mountain Christian University. If you'd like to get a DVD, simply, again, email me. And again, we're asking for a suggested donation of at least $10 to get the DVD. We'll be glad to get it to you. And that's one way you can, in some way, help support the work of the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry. We hope that you will do that. I want to take time now to read another article, and we've shared it before, but again, it makes the point, one more reason why we as God's people should get involved, because there's so much darkness, so much wickedness surrounding the industry of abortion that sometimes people just don't understand. It's a tragedy to think that there are those people out there that support passionately the work of killing babies. The title of this article is Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. Again, Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. And the following, of course, are accounts of testimonies of precious women who were rescued out of the tragic and dark life of sex trafficking. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Here are the testimonials of these precious ladies who were rescued out of sex trafficking. Number one, when my trafficker found out that any of his quote-unquote girls were pregnant, he would take us outside and beat us with a pipe around our stomach and abdomen until we miscarried. This happened to me 4 times. I never carried a pregnancy to term. A second testimonial. I was trafficked when I was 13 and got pregnant 6 times. I was always taken to a clinic by my trafficker and forced to have an abortion. The third testimonial. Before he started trafficking me, my trafficker took me to a clinic. He pretended to be my uncle and had the doctor administer Depo-Provera to me. I got intermittent Depo-Provera shots from the time I was 13 throughout the time I was trafficked until I was 23. A fourth testimonial. My trafficker advertised me as someone who would not be using a condom, and so after a weekend of being sold at upscale hotels, he would force me to take Plan B. I had Plan B so many times that I had gynecological problems for 5 years after I got out. And the fifth testimonial, I was trafficked when I was a child. I had so many abortions and was back out on, quote unquote, the track again right afterward and had so many untreated infections that I developed scar tissue, PID, and ultimately had to have a hysterectomy. The pain of not being able to have a child now that I'm happily married is too great to describe in words. What you've just heard are real accounts of women who survived sex trafficking, yet experienced forced abortions by their captors. Sadly, this happens too often right here in America as well in other nations. Modern-day sex slavery is what sex trafficking is, amongst other things. It's evil, wicked, and devastating in so many ways for the victims. Yet sadly, the tragic and very wicked industry of abortion is an evil twin to sex trafficking. The abortion industry works hand in glove with sex trafficking as one aids and abets the other. Many are the victims of both hideous and dark industries. It's so critical that we, the Church of Jesus Christ, recognize and passionately mobilize to get aggressive, mobilize to aggressively work to end both tragic industries. In the Gospel of John in chapter 10 and verse 10, we are told, The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. These two wicked industries represent the epitome of what the devil seeks to do to all human beings on this planet. It's true that he seeks to steal from, kill, and destroy all people. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to these and all the other ills of our world. And we, the church, are the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. We're called to pray diligently and passionately for the ending of the work of both of these dark industries. However, it's so important that we understand that we pray and then we get up and do what we're called to do to help end these tragic works of darkness. Where does the church start? A great starting place is educating yourself and your church family about these works of darkness. Research and find out about ministries that are on the front lines coming against these dark industries. Look at the websites of Christian ministries that are working faithfully to combat sex trafficking. Typically, they are well prepared to help educate believers about the dark organizations that are involved in sex trafficking. Pray for these ministries and give to them financially to help them carry out their vital missions. Help to sponsor Bible studies or workshops or events that can serve to educate your church family about this issue. Find out ways to help extend the educational reach of these ministries. Also, learn more, much more, about so much of what the ministry of Standing for Life is about. There are many great ministries that are doing great works to help the cause of life. Pregnancy help centers are ministries that provide free help to women who find themselves expecting a child at difficult times in their lives. Praying for pregnancy centers and giving financially to help them carry out their mission are two great things many believers can do to help. Volunteer your time and or help to give baby items such as diapers, baby bottles, baby clothes, etc. to the clinics. You can pray for women who go to abortion clinics to change their minds and keep their babies. Many people would be surprised at the number of women who go to abortion clinics to get abortions, but change their minds and decide not to abort. This is the result often of people of God praying behind the scenes. Believers can volunteer and be trained to be sidewalk advocates who work outside of abortion clinics. The Lord uses people who stand and pray, share pro-life brochures, and who are simply there to help women to choose to keep their babies instead of aborting them. They also very often help women see that choosing to place their baby up for adoption is a very good, noble, and fruitful option instead of abortion. There are also many other great ministries that help to address many sides of the pro-life cause. Prayerfully decide to get involved where the Lord wants you to get involved. Whatever you do, don't stand on the sidelines. There's too much work to be done for any of us to do that. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, there are three persons who represent the church. They are the priest, the Levite, and the Good Samaritan. Read Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. In the parable, a traveler has been attacked, beaten up, robbed, and left severely wounded on the side of the road. The priest comes along, sees the wounded man, and passes by on the other side. The Levite, too, comes along and sees the same wounded individual, and he, too, passes by on the other side. Yet the Samaritan comes along and sees the wounded man and reacts very differently. He stops, seeks to nurse the man and his injuries, and helps him to a place where he can receive further help and attention. He also spends money to help see after his needs. The Lord Jesus very specifically told the lawyer and all the rest of us in the church to go and do not as the priest nor the Levite did. Christ told us to do as the Samaritan did. He told us to sacrificially love our brothers and sisters in need. Brothers and sisters, let us love the Lord enough to do what he says. Again, the title of that article, Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. If you'd like to get a copy of this or any of the other articles, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Lord, thank you for us as the church. Thank you for us as a nation, Lord. Help us as the church and as a nation, Lord, to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray, and anoint the church afresh with the spirit of compassion, mercy, and grace, and stir us to be the people of love you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you have never made the eternally critical decision of asking Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, inviting him to save you and make you brand new, today is a good day to make that decision. Would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me now and fully commit your heart and life to the Lord? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We want to be sure and get to you some literature and resource material that will help you to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please email me, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share that material with you right away. Again, we hope to hear from you today. Again, joseph@afr.net. Also, if you're wanting to get copies of any of the articles we shared, the three articles include the first one, The Bible, Life, and Abortion. The second article, Issues on Life and the Church. And the last article, Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. If you'd like to get a copy of any or all of them, simply email me, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get them to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.